I'm Richard Dolan, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me for a special report today, fresh from the premiere of the Age of Disclosure trailer at South by Southwest, I've got listener Chase. Chase, welcome.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing?
I'm good. Chase, you are fresh from the South by Southwest premiere of the Age of Disclosure documentary. Folks, full disclosure, no pun intended, I've not seen it. Very few people in the world have seen it. I reached out to the company and organization involved with distribution to try and get a screener for it. They weren't giving any out. From what I can gather, I think a handful of folks in Congress and the US government may have seen advanced copies of it for reasons that you can imagine, but they weren't dishing them out to podcasters just yet. But I wanted to get a fresh reaction. So what I've got one listener who attended, who sent me in their thoughts, and I've got Chase joining me. Some of you may know Chase from the Listener Rambo shows. So Chase, welcome, mate. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. No, good to have you on. You're doing me a favor here. And you're not long removed, are you? We're recording this on the 11th of March. The premiere was on the 9th. You had a bit of an interesting experience all round. It wasn't like you just bought a ticket to go and see a film, was it? You had a pretty cool time of it.
I did. One of the people that was in the movie was kind enough to get me a pass to go see it. I wasn't actually planning on attending South by Southwest downtown. I'm working this week and was not planning on it, but they reached out and said, you know, would you like to go? And I said, yeah, would love to go, and was given a ticket and ended up standing in line with all the VIPs of the movie. I had no idea, and it was wonderful. It was a great experience.
Awesome. Just very quickly, South by Southwest, or SXSW, people may see it written online, is a week-long festival in Austin, Texas. It celebrates music, film, interactive media, culture. There's conferences, networking, professional development. That is all from Google, folks, a new website you may not have heard of. I think the big thing for me is I usually see movie news come out of South by Southwest. It could be small independent films getting their debut. It could be kind of bigger budget movies or documentaries like this. And this was a really interesting choice for this documentary to land. I think by now a lot of folks know it's produced or directed, by Spielberg producer Dan Farah. This is a directorial debut, I believe. Is that right?
From what I understood, yes.
Yeah, it sounded like that from the introductions and whatnot. A lot of hype around this one, Chase. There was a lot of folks with expectations, and we have to be fair, I think a lot of the hype has come from the folks involved or folks who had heard about this documentary, because I know plenty of folks who haven't seen it, who online have made a big deal about what this documentary will do. I think I've been hopeful it could make a difference and could really move the needle. Right now, it's had a very limited audience. There's been one showing on the 9th of March. You have seen the showing then. There's another one today. So a second screening happened today. And minutes after the first, I think the documentary was still being screened to you in the theatre, reviews started dropping as well from some of the bigger media outlets. I'm guessing they did have advanced screeners. So I'm sure you were still watching the documentary as I saw a variety of people and a few other websites started to drop stuff. So tell us what it was like going into the theatre, going into the event, and then if you want to get straight into your thoughts on the documentary itself, that would be great.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really nice day to have it. It was downtown Austin. I think the weather, I think it was like 60 degrees outside, so it was perfect, beautiful. And they had multiple lines set up going into the venue at the Paramount Theater on Congress Avenue, literally in the shadow of the Texas Capitol. And it was the line that I got in. I just showed the lady my ticket. She's like, oh, you get over in this line. So I stood there, and then it was literally a cavalcade of UFO celebrities. George Knapp came in, Ryan Graves came in, Commander Fravor came in, Rear Admiral, what's his last name?
Tim Gallaudet.
Thank you, Gallaudet.
Yep.
Was there. Apparently also Ernest Cline was somehow either related to the movie or involved in the movie as well. So he was there with his wife. And then I met a whole bunch of other people that I didn't know standing in line while I had the opportunity. So that was really nice. But we were probably in line outside for about 20, 25 minutes while everybody took their pictures and had their discussions. And then they let us in and immediately seated the VIP people in the front and then allowed everybody else to come on in and have a seat. I think there was a really, every single seat was full. And there was a longer line outside still waiting. So I don't think everybody got to get in that even had tickets. But once we were seated, they introduced the movie. They talked about it. Dan Farrah came out, addressed everybody for a few minutes, and then started the movie. And it was just shy of 2 hours. And I don't think I sat back the entire time. I mean, it was just, it was, what I really was impressed by was the number of high-level military and government officials that were in the movie, 34 at least. And they, so many of them were in the room. I saw Tim Burchett come in the room. He was in the studio or in the theater as well. And yeah, to me, that was the most important part of the movie was, and I was sitting with some people who were not UFO people. I could tell by their conversation as we were waiting for the show to start. And they were like, do you think they're going to show something? Mm-hmm. You know, have you seen any of these videos? They literally were talking about, they had never seen any, the gimbal, the tic-tac, not the tic-tac, but the go fast. And so they weren't aware of very much of the topic whatsoever. And the number of times that I heard them gasp, it was at least 6 or 7 times that they're like, oh my gosh, you know? And those were things that I think most of us who are in the topic probably weren't as surprised by. These are things that we had mostly heard before in other settings or in other interviews on podcasts, things like that. But to have it all together in one place where it was just one after another, making their points. And these were not, you know, third tier people. This was Marco Rubio, you know, the Secretary of State was in the movie several times saying things that I don't think have ever been said before by somebody at that level of government. Lou Elizondo did a great job with the narration. He did most of the narration of the movie. He was in it a lot. They would cut back to him quickly. And he sort of kept the theme, the progression of the movie going in the direction that I think they wanted it to go, and would then cut to interviews with all of these people fairly rapid fire. They didn't stay on anybody for more than a couple of minutes. So it was just, it was sort of moving quickly between some of the government officials that were speaking, but then also it was the individual conversations of the interviewers in the situations that were actually asking the questions. Christopher Mellon did a great job. In fact, I think he probably helped a lot in that movie in terms of just some of the guidance and direction. I'm trying to think of, that's probably my sort of initial thoughts.
What we'll do is I'm going to use the other listener who's been in touch, who attended, sent me an email of bullet points. Let me run through his bullet points and you can comment on each of them. Because again, here, I've not seen it, folks. Sure. I am literally using Chase and the other listener, Rod, their experience to kind of give you a flavor of what this has been like so far. So let's go through these then. So thank you to Rod. He had just attended the premiere on the 9th. And here are some of his takeaways, Chase. Okay, and again, Chase, we have not discussed this yet. You don't know what I'm going to bring up here. Could be good, could be bad, could be indifferent. And I'm just going to get your take on each of them. So the first one was, Rod said, I enjoyed the documentary. It did get a little dry watching 34 talking heads. I am sure it'll get bashed by the UFO community for not being more radical and controversial. What's your take on that one?
I agree with that. But I also think if the director had gone any further into the woo area, that they would have lost some of the mainstream viewership at that point in the movie, or it would have been something for people to say, it's a little too crazy for me. So as much as I agree, there was no, what I was really hoping for was a video clip that we had not seen before. And I didn't see that. I don't believe there was any video in the movie of ships or videos that were. That being said, the conversations that they did have were by people who have not said those things before at a very high level. To me, that was what was impressive.
Sure. Second one, he says it did an excellent job of laying out the critical key UAP facts from the last few years, and it goes through them year by year.
It did. It did do that. And it progressed the conversation from sort of starting with talking about Roswell and the post-Roswell government state. They talked about the warning from one of our presidents who had said, be careful, beware of the rise of the military-industrial complex. And that's basically what they were saying has now happened, is that that's where we're living. So they made a good effort and did a good job of demonstrating that part of the story, for sure.
Rod then says, yes, there are 34 talking heads giving you the facts as to why UAP and NHI, non-human intelligence, are real. Would you say again with that, that the 34 talking heads, basically everyone involved in this, is pushing that perspective? These objects are real and they aren't misidentifications.
Yeah, absolutely. Every single person made the point that not only are these things real and have been here, but that they've probably been here for a long time. They even went into some of the initial thoughts on propulsion, which I was kind of surprised. You know, they went into the whole idea of the bubbles that in different ends of the ship.
I'd seen a couple of clips, yeah.
Yeah, so they talked about that, which I thought was interesting because I don't think it's been discussed at that level before, at least not with this audience. So I thought that was really good. They also even touched on some of the injuries that had been suffered by some military, and not just military, but citizens and military people that had been exposed to the craft, and listed it as the sixth observable when Lou was talking.
Okay. He says, this isn't a movie of B-roll shots showing UFOs. In fact, it showed very few UAP. If you are not into documentaries, you will probably find this movie boring.
I guess it depends what you go in with in terms of your expectations. My expectations were this is a documentary about this topic. It has a lot of high-level people that they had previously talked about were in the movie. I was hopeful, but I really didn't expect there to be anything that was shown that was going to be groundbreaking. I think it was more what was discussed and by whom that was groundbreaking. But yeah, there was definitely what I really liked. There was no CGI, AI-generated UFOs or aliens going by in the background as B-roll, like you said. I thought that was really good. They kept it on the facts, on the discussion points, with the interviews and the conversations that were really being had. But yeah, I could see if you went in thinking, oh, I hope they show a new video that's never been, you know, it's on the White House lawn kind of thing. Then that, yeah, I can see that. If that's your expectations, you would have been disappointed. But I think otherwise it's really a movie that is progressing the topic in a way that very few have.
He mentions it talks about NHI monitoring our nuclear weapons. Is that quite a big theme that goes throughout?
I wouldn't say big. I would say they definitely brought it up a few times. They did talk about how they had demonstrated the ability to turn them on and off. They did say that. Although they didn't say where, they didn't say anything about Maelstrom. So I wouldn't say it was big, but it was definitely discussed. And I think the reason that they brought that in was it's one of the ways that we can push forward with the topic in terms of saying, well, if it's just something you see in the sky, it's not taking up anyone's time, but it's over a nuclear base or something like that, obviously is going to be getting a lot more attention.
Sure. Rod then says, details, whoever cracks zero-point energy or gravity mysteries will control the world, and why it's so dangerous if the wrong person, brackets China or Russia, discover that first. Mm.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion of our rivals, Russia and China, a lot of discussion around our capabilities, what these things were capable of doing. And some of the interviewees were really, really clear that even though they had heard of things and seen things, the descriptions that were given to them by the people that were interviewed in the movie were apparently significant compared to previous interactions. It seemed like the people that were in the movie that were sort of talking about this for the first time Their target was the inner, or so I would say, the United States defense aspect of it. And that was where they were trying to push government, was from the perspective of, even if you don't know what these things are or care, when they're around our assets like this, we need to care.
Sure. I think you touched on this one, but obviously Rod said he did enjoy having Hal Puthoff explain how the time gravity bubble allows for UFOs to work. And that, of course, is mentioned in Lou Elizondo's book.
Yeah, Hal Puthoff was there. Eric Davis was there. And there was another gentleman with them, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But yes, Hal talked about the not only the fact that the bubble would be part of a propulsion system, but that it was also theoretically, according to what they believe, something that would allow it to move transmedium, obviously through water without creating splashes or wakes, and allowing them to move it at rapid speeds underwater. They talked about that. Gallaudet made a statement in the Q&A afterwards about that. And so, yeah, they definitely talked about that aspect of it, including the fact that time within the bubble may not be passing at the same rate that it is outside. My video.
Your camera jumped around, just so you know. The audio, folks, that won't affect any of you. So, yeah, awesome. Rod says it provided a consistent story of facts and conclusions that hopefully will encourage other scientists and researchers to come forward. Do you agree with that?
For sure. To me, that was, I would guess, probably the biggest goal of the movie, was to really clearly demonstrate with all of these senior leadership people that if you were afraid of coming out before, you don't have to be anymore. When the Secretary of State of the United States is saying these things, you shouldn't have to be afraid anymore. And so I think that was one of the big goals of the movie, was to increase the whistleblowers' safety, protection, and allow them to come forward and talk and speak about what they've seen.
He says it did present a logical call to action that disclosure needs to happen.
It did, for sure. I don't know that they gave the way that they want people to do that, but yeah, they did.
Okay. And then some discussion about the dangerous physical dangers of UAPs and its effects on people that I think you touched on there, Chase.
Yeah, sure.
So Rod's final kind of little summary was, I honestly think that it is possible for this documentary to get buried and glossed over. It doesn't have a lot of spectacular video or stories of UFOs that will make it the number one Netflix show. I hope it does encourage others to research the subject more. Perhaps the best thing about attending was seeing all the celebrities, and he names Jay Stratton, Hal Puthoff, Dave Fravor, Tim Burchett, Ryan Graves, Gary Nolan, Dave Fravor, Chris Ramsey from Area 52, George Knapp, and Jeremy Corbell, which I'm going to ask you there. Overall, separate for me that you attended an event that I'm guessing most folks listening or watching this podcast, including myself, would love to be there. And you get to take part in an event with a lot of like-minded people. You get to see a lot of these folks in person. I mean, bear in mind, I've talked to a lot of these folks. I've never met any of them yet, like face-to-face, whereas listeners have, like other people I know have. So there's that aspect of it. Separate for me that the event surrounding it was interesting, fun, a great experience. How did you feel immediately after it finished, to then say maybe a day or two later, do you still feel the same?
It's a really good question. Because yeah, the event itself, before and after, was really exciting. It was really fun. But I get your point. The content itself, I just think, the more I think about it, the more I think it's the highest quality production video documentary that I've seen. On the topic. So that alone is really, really good. I think if someone started watching it, I've watched many, many UFO documentaries or movies where within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you get one of those AI CGI rendered things going across the screen. And I'm just like, I'm out. But the production value is so low. This was completely opposite. It felt like Dan Farah talked a lot about how he had to make the movie for the last 2.5 years in secrecy because of the government overreach and some of the fear that people had in terms of coming forward to even participate in the movie as a project. But yeah, I would say after a day or so, a day and a half or so, for me, I feel like I was glad that I went. not for the event, but to see the movie. I would have gone to a regular movie theater just to see that movie regardless. And I would say that, being totally honest, I was a little tiny bit disappointed that there wasn't something radically new. But that being said, I do think that the movie did what it was supposed to do. I think it involved more people in the conversation. More people are going to be exposed as a result. The buzz is definitely there. And so if it gets more people to the topic and that drives the disclosure movement, then I think it did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. What really stood out for you? You're well-versed in this topic, Chase. You know, I know you know your stuff. We talk pretty often. A lot of folks listening to this will know their stuff. Others will be less kind of well-versed. What stood out to you? Was there any kind of wow moments?
The movie itself, separating it from the event, I said wow out loud when they started talking about the propulsion and the time change. I thought that was very significant to have in a conversation at this sort of a mainstream level. I was surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I was also surprised that they talked about the injuries at all. I think they did that to demonstrate again that it's our military people that are often affected and therefore Congress should act. I think that's why they brought that up. They didn't go into anything with regard to abductions or anything like that. There was a little bit, I'm trying to think, did they talk? They listed Hal Puthoff, but I don't know that they said anything about remote viewing now that I think about it. I think they said something about the fact that he had been involved in a top secret project years earlier, but I don't think they actually said that it was remote viewing or anything like that. So, but yeah, for me, it was when they started, okay. when he said, we don't think time passes the same way for people inside the bubble as outside. That's when the people next to me, one of the times was just like, oh my gosh, do you think that is true? You know? And so I think that there was some mainstream people that have never heard that before. And I think that's good.
So I think I'll ask a question on the Jay Stratton comments that caught a lot of folks' attention from the trailer, where Jay Stratton essentially says, I've seen non-human bodies, I've seen non-human craft. Can you talk about that moment in the film and what's kind of happening
there? That was also
there?
Another time, I'm glad you brought that up. That was another time that people, the ladies next to us gasped because he said that in the movie and then several other people did as well in fairly rapid succession in terms of where it was in the movie. And I think that was another point for a lot of us that are in the topic. We're like, yeah. But I think for a lot of them, they were just like, no, really? Because they were talking about it afterwards as we were walking out. That was one of the things I overheard them discussing was they're like, well, where do you think they are? Where do you think the bodies are? You know, and of course all of us have been like, well, there's lots of places that people talk about, but yeah, I think that was definitely one of the pieces because Jay Stratton said that, trying to think who else said that in the actual movie. I can't remember. That was really going quickly. Yeah.
No, that's all right. No. And there was a Q&A after where a lot of the folks involved came out on stage. What was that like? And was there any particular comments from it you remember that stood out? I appreciate it was 2 days ago now.
They brought everybody. First, they brought Dan up on stage. I was a little disappointed, if I have to say, in the South By person that was introducing him. I don't think she had very much of a grasp on the topic or the people involved, but she did a fine job.
Just on that chase, yeah. I've seen the video of the woman in question, and it seemed like she would hype every documentary, movie, TV show the same way. It was quite a general... She's standing there with a clipboard. I have this person. They're coming out for this documentary. I think she gave the comments of, we've all sat in the office. We were super excited. We're super excited for you to see it. And you're like, yeah, you're going to say that about everything. You're not going to come out and go, it was a bit crap, you know, not something I'm interested in. But anyway, here's a 2-hour documentary for you. So no harm to her. But that for me, in terms of not being there, some of that presentation stuff, I imagine, won't sit brilliantly with folks in the UFO community because it's a little bit cheesy. I don't even know right now how I feel about the red carpet side of it. You know, given what the topic is and given the nature of it, I don't know if it quite works. You know, it's a little bit like when Linda Moulton Howe interviewed Christopher Mellon. And I'm like, it's two sides of the same coin, but this doesn't look right, almost, like, you know, so I don't know. But that's just a weird little personal thing. But it's at a different location, a different event. These types of documentaries, and I've spoken to enough documentary makers over the years, don't normally get this type of exposure before they even get release details. And I'd love to know, do they mention at all about distribution or release about this coming out publicly?
They did not. And that was one of the big things that everyone was asking afterwards as well, was how's it going to be distributed? Apparently, that's one of the reasons they're at South By, is to get a distributor. So
some of those folks are there, isn't it? That's where you will get folks from Netflix, from Apple TV, from all those other TV services. I don't think, and I'll ask your opinion, Chase, again, you were there. You are the expert on this now. Do you feel, trying to think fairly here, you're a fan of the UFO conversation and topic, would this benefit from a theatrical release, cinema-wide, when a lot of folks, and I'm a big cinema fan, aren't going to cinemas to see multi-million dollar movies? Are they going to go to watch a documentary?
It's a good question. I would go to a theater to see it, like I said before, for sure. It was as good as any documentary I've ever seen on any other topic. So yeah, I would put it up against other documentaries, especially on an area that hasn't been discussed at this level with this amount of credibility before. So I think I do think it would benefit from a theatrical release, because if it ends up on, you know, one of the streaming sites, it's just another UFO documentary on the streaming sites, and there's a lot of them. Whereas if it goes to the theater, then, you know, it has that hype of being there. Yeah, I think it would benefit. I hope they do. I really do hope that they do get a actual theatrical distribution.
And overall, do you think it is just that higher level production value? Because I think for many folks in the UFO community, James Fox set the standard and the bar with, for example, The Phenomenon, as this is the documentary you would show your family and friends. What documentary do you think your average, thinking of some of your mates who maybe don't have an interest in the UFO topic, but know you do, would you sit down and show them this, even with all the high-ranking military, credible folks? But you probably have to explain that to them, because I know I've got friends who aren't into the UFO topic who would probably rather see something with some video, you know, to go along with it, as opposed to me having to sit and say, yeah, but this guy's now the Secretary of State for the United States, or this guy was Deputy Assistant or Undersecretary for the Bush Administration for Intelligence, and they don't care. For them, that doesn't matter, even though it does in what's being said. You know, what do you think people would rather see for your average member of the public?
Honestly, I think they would rather see a celebrity saying the exact same thing, and then they would listen to it. I mean, honestly, if it was The Rock standing there,
that's not unfair, mate.
They would be like, what? Oh my gosh, it's true. But instead, you've got Secretary of State and undersecretaries and rear admirals saying the same thing. And you would think that would be far more credible. But yeah, no, I think if it was going to go full mainstream, I think it needs some sort of a celebrity endorsement, backing, something like that, to sort of drive it another step forward.
So we've got a phrase in the UK, horses for courses. Do you know what that means? So you use a certain horse for a certain type of job or course, right? So essentially, it's not one size fits all. And I wonder, is the audience that just sat and watched Stephen Greer on with Khloe Kardashian, is that audience who's watching Khloe Kardashian's podcast going to sit and watch a two-hour talking head documentary on UFOs?
No, that's a good point. No, absolutely not.
And I asked this question on the Discord chat as well. Shout out to all the folks in there. Around, they were debating as a documentary as powerful or a tool as it maybe was some time ago, when we have all these different media platforms now. And someone made the point that, because I think I brought up, would they be as well having this conversation on Joe Rogan and getting that audience of millions it's a certain type of audience, though. It's not, my mum's not listening to Joe Rogan. My mum doesn't know who Joe Rogan is, right? But I don't think she's watching or listening to Khloe Kardashian, and she's not watching this either. So there's something, you know, for everyone, I suppose. Do you think there's something to, and someone mentioned this on the Discord, like I say, Jay Stratton and Dan Farah going on to Joe Rogan and having this two-hour conversation between them with Rogan, and it would have as big, if not more, of an impact?
I think it would definitely have a very big impact. I think, like you said, the people who have been on the Joe Rogan show, like Ryan Graves three times now, I think he's been on there, and Grush, yeah, and everybody else, I don't know that, I think that that group is probably already exposed to the topic, and to them, there would be a few new things in this that they would really like. And I think that the interview would be worth having, but I don't think you're going to get that next big Venn diagram of audience that we haven't been able to overlap with yet from that. I think, like I said, I think it's going to have to be something, I don't know, maybe with the level of credibility on that side, I don't know, maybe like an Oprah or a King Charles, let him come out and talk about it. I've heard that he's very interested in the topic.
I think your point, though, at a large is correct, that at this point, there's no one thing that everyone's going to go and listen to or watch, and these things are being made for whatever audience is there for it. Because, like we said, Kardashian, Greer, that's one thing. A Rogan podcast is another. A James Fox documentary is another. And I think it's almost getting redundant now. A lot of folks say, and you said at the start, if you're really well versed in the UFO topic, there might not be a whole lot new here for you. But I think we're past the point of that. Who is this documentary for? It's being made for a mainstream audience. They've got a bit more budget behind it than your normal UFO documentary because of the production company involved, because of the people they've managed to then get involved. So whatever audience it's there for, hopefully, we can only hope there is an impact. And I suppose, as a final question, Chase, what do you really see the impact of this documentary being?
What I hope it is, and what I'm hoping is happening, is that between James Fox's documentary, this documentary, so many good ones, the George Knapp series on Netflix that he released last summer, I feel like we're sort of slowly bringing the temperature of the water up. You know, we're sort of warming it up to where more people are wanting to get in the pool, at least see what it's about. And I think that's it. It definitely does that as well as, if not better than, any other documentary I've seen on the UFO topic, because of who's in there and who's having the discussion. If their goal was to get Joe Blow American involved in the topic, I don't know that this is going to yank them into it. But I do think that as we progress and have more and more of these documentaries and legitimate, credible pieces of content on this topic, the water warms up. We start pulling people in from the sides of the mainstream group and growing the crowd of people that are at least willing to listen. And I think it did do that.
Awesome. Chase, listen, this has been brilliant. Thank you so much for volunteering your time, coming on after you've been to the event. And thank you, of course, to Rod as well, who sent in his thoughts. So, Chase, awesome. Good to hear from you. And you have nothing to plug. Or you get any social media you want people to follow you on?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, there you see, that's a great answer at the end, isn't it? There are folks out there who don't really bother too much with social media, who still love and enjoy this conversation, folks. So again, thank you so much, Chase. And as more information comes out on Age of Disclosure, when it's available, I don't know if they'll announce anything today. It's being shown again at South by Southwest, if any more comes of that. But go and check out some of those reviews online. And as and when we get details, I'll let you know, folks. So thank you so much.